Don't steal. This lesson has everything to do with what we talked about this morning. Fear. Fear. What are you afraid of? Remember all of that? Now I'm speaking to the parents and the grandparents, the aunts and the uncles of all of our children. Don't steal the future from your children. The way I look at it, we're all family here, and I'm sorry, I'm very selfish. Your children are my children. You let me hold them. You let me talk to them. That you even let them around me is incredible. So I trust I'm part of your family and helping in the raising of your children and grandchildren. Don't steal the future from your children. What in the world am I talking about? Have you caught it yet? You see, as we deal with our fears as parents, do you fear? Are you afraid for your children? Are you afraid for their future? Are you afraid the direction that America is going in? Do you worry about the world that our children will inherit? Be very, very careful here. My mom, when I was young and growing up, had incredible insight and was a political thinker. She had deep insights into what was going on in America way back in the 60s. But you realize what the 60s were. The rebellion had begun. She saw dark days ahead for America. She had tremendous insight. She wasn't a prophetess. She didn't have any precognition. She didn't look into a crystal ball. But she saw all of this coming and more. One thing she didn't do. Oh, have I ever told you? She was smitten with severe, horrific, the worst I've ever seen, migraines. And sometimes depression. She could have been a doom and gloomer. She could have been a most negative and depressing person to her children, to me. But she was not. Parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, everyone you allow around your children, don't let anybody steal hope from your children. I don't know how many times I've heard adults say, I've even said it under some limited circumstances, boy, I sure wouldn't want to be a parent in today's world. And then I stop and I realize what I'm doing when I think like that or when I say something like that. I'm stealing the future from our children. I am stealing hope from the people I am supposed to give hope to, and you are supposed to give hope to also. Don't steal the future from your children. You know who taught me that best besides my mom? You young people. I'm sorry, not you older people, not even the older young people, but you young people. And I've told you before why you inspire me. Because you keep having babies in a world just like this. Thank God for you. God bless you. Don't let anybody steal the future from your children by taking away hope, by preaching and teaching and living and acting doom and gloom and depression and horror and Don't do that. I think that's one of the worst things you or I could ever do. And sometimes we probably don't intend to do that. And it goes straight back to our lesson. You know what is the number one book you should read as a parent? It's one of the best parent manuals ever. And it's not the book of Proverbs. That's the second best one. Guess what the first one is? The book of Deuteronomy. I want you to notice how this ties directly into our sermon this morning about letting one fear rule them all, the fear of the Lord God. And then it is amazing how many times the book of Deuteronomy, Moses in the preaching of his final sermons, you know, you think old man Moses, and he was up there in years, he would see a bleak and a dark and a gloomy and a doomy future for Israel. And no, he spoke of hope. And he framed it in the fear of God. Just a few places we need to look at this. Turn to the fourth chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. In the fourth chapter, verse 1, "And now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the rules that I am teaching you, and do them, that you may live." He's not talking about death and doom and gloom. "That you may live, and you can go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. You shall not add to this word that I command you, nor shall you take away from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God that I commanded you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord has done." Let me skip down through some of this. And verse 5 says, "See, I have taught you the statutes and the rules that the Lord my God has commanded you, that you should do them in the land that you are entering in to take possession of it. Keep them and do them, for that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, 'Surely this nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has a God so near as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon Him? And what great nation is there that has statutes and rules so righteous as all this law that I have set before you today?'" Moses says, "Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children." Is all this negative stuff? Oh yes, I realize there are some negative laws and regulations and episodes, but what is the overarching principle? "That you may go into this nation and you may live and do and prosper." This is optimism. This is not pessimism. "And you make all this known to your children and to your children's children." That's why it's not just parents. It's grandparents too. Don't become a crotchety old curmudgeon. Oh, I've always wanted to say that. I don't want to be one of those kinds of people. They just grumble, 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 complain, complain, complain. And oh, these are the worst days I've ever seen. No. These are the best of times. Why? Because God is in them. And because the people of God, just like you, are in them. And you young people especially keep having these babies. You're giving all of us old folks hope that the future is going to be grand and it is going to be glorious. Don't let anybody steal the future from your children. And make sure that you as parents, sometimes you and I, and as I've been a parent and still am a grandparent, I got to make sure what I talk about in front of my kids, even if they're grown, and especially my grandkids and my kids when they were younger. Do you have to talk about difficult things and challenging things and bad things? Yes. But eventually you need to make sure that your children hear, you inject into every aspect of your life a positive faith. And a reason for living and looking to the future and realizing that God is a part of everything. And that is what is the glory of it all. So you teach your children. You teach your children's children how, on the day that you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, Mount Sinai, the Lord said to me, "Gather the people to me that I may let them hear my words, so that they may learn to fear me all the days that they live on the earth, so that they may teach their children so." Everything we said about fear and all the bad things that we can be afraid of, all the horrible things that can go on that scare us. No. Let that one fear rule over them all, overrule everything else. And then share that fear with your children. What was the fear we talked about? In so many ways, it is still defined as love. The love of God, that God is a loving God. He is powerful. He is awesome. So you came near, as it says in verse 11, you came near and stood at the foot of the mountain, while the mountain burned with fire to the heart of heaven, wrapped up in the darkness and clouds and gloom. Then the Lord spoke to you out of the midst of the fire, and you heard the sound of words, but saw no form. There was only a voice, and he declared to you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, and that is the Ten Commandments, and he wrote them on two tablets of stone. What's he doing? He's rehearsing their own history. Why is he doing this? He's reminding them of where they came from, and then he's also instructing them, you make sure that you instill the glories of the covenant, impress the glories of the covenant upon your own children. Turn with me to the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 9. Now this is the commandment in Deuteronomy 6, 1. The statutes, the rules that the Lord our God has commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land that you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God. I mean, that we've already explained this morning that that's one of the number one principles of the Deuteronomic code. The principle of Deuteronomy, fear the Lord your God. And that you and your son and your son's sons may do this by keeping all of his statutes, his commandments, which I am commanding you all the days of your life, that you may your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you. Do you see the positive emphasis that our God places upon them and their circumstances and their covenant and ours as well? As the Lord your God, the God of your fathers, has promised you all this in a land flowing with milk and honey. And then the greatest command of all. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. I'm convinced that this is the fear of the Lord. And everything that the fear of the Lord is all about. And that the words that I command you today will be on your heart. And you will teach them diligently, parents, grandparents, to your children. And they shall talk of them when you sit in the house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates. And it goes on. And parents, you don't know how to be a parent until you apply the principle of Deuteronomy to your parenting skills. And this is how you keep from stealing the future from your children. Let me tell you, one of the greatest tragedies in our culture is so many kids, even among supposed Christian parents, are not being firmly taught in the ways of God. Those ways are not being impressed upon their hearts as being talked about here in the book of Deuteronomy. And by and large, way too many, surely not with you, good brothers and sisters, the way that most parents are acting is they are in essence stealing the truth out of the hearts of their children because they're not impressing these great truths into their hearts in the first place. What did Jesus say about those that caused their children to stumble, the little ones to stumble? It'd be better if a millstone were hung around their necks and they were cast into the depth of the sea than to harm one of these little ones who believes in me. See the significance in all of this? What is it you fear? All you have to fear is fear the Lord. And all the other fears will take care of themselves. You instill that, parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles, in the hearts of your own children and grandchildren and nephews and nieces, and you see the point. And then you model that fear before them so that what you're doing is you're constantly, daily giving them hope. Yeah, bad things are happening in the world, but God is in control, and look at the wonder of His graces and His mercies, and that's what we're talking about. Then turn with me to the 20th through the 25th verse of this 6th chapter that we were reading just a moment ago. Because you see, one day in verse 20, your son, your daughter is going to stand up and ask you a question. When your son asks you in times to come, What is the meaning of these testimonies and these statutes and the rules that the Lord our God has commanded you? You know, they may not ask that when they're 5 years old, but who knows? My wife tells me some of the things you mommies write about your children on Facebook blows me away. Some of these little children, 4, 5, 6, 7, the things they say about God. But sooner or later, they're going to ask questions about what they believe. They might be 10, they might be 16, they might be 25, they might be 30 years old and still asking questions. What is the meaning of these testimonies, these statutes, and the rules that the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you will say to them, and what goes on is, you're basically going to lay out to them the terms of the covenant and how God brought it to pass in the context of the Israelites. It was, He did all these things. Look at the last part of verse 22. Before our very eyes, we saw God ransom us and rescue us from Egypt and bring us out of Egypt. And verse 24, and the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that He might preserve us alive as we are today. And it will be righteousness for us. You know, I thought that Romans was the book of righteousness. It's amazing that so is Deuteronomy. It will be righteousness for us if we are careful to do all this commandment before the Lord our God as He has commanded us. Parents, you see, I'm sorry to put it so bluntly, you don't know how to parent until you come face to face and terms to terms with what we're looking at in the book of Deuteronomy. As you instill the fear of God in your children, why are you doing that? Because if they learn to fear God, they don't have to fear anything or anyone else. And if you're not doing this, you're stealing the future from your children. And you're taking away, there it is, all hope. Another place to look at in the book of Deuteronomy. Turn to the 31st chapter, and we see it again. In Deuteronomy 31, just looking at verses 9 through 13. The text says, the Lord our God will make you abundantly prosperous. It would help if I'm reading in the right place. I said 31:9. There we go. Then Moses wrote the law and gave it to the priests, the sons of Levi, who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them at the end of every 7 years, the set time for the year of release, the Feast of Booths, the year of Jubilee, and so forth. When all Israel comes to appear before the Lord and God is at the place that He will choose, you shall read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Now, Curtis, you're going to be talking about attendance at some point in these lessons to come. Think about this, good people, all of you, think about this. Assemble the people, men, women, and then it specifically says, and the little ones. And the little ones, the children. Even the sojourner who is within your towns, that they may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God and be careful to do all the words of this law, and that their children who have not known it may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land that you are going over the Jordan to possess. What's the point? You make sure, parents, you bring your children to worship the Lord. You make sure you have a family altar. You make sure on the regular time of the new Israel, the church's worship, the first day of every week, you bring your children. What are you doing? You're not stealing the future from them. You are giving them full opportunity to come to know the Lord in His grace, in His goodness, and to come to the fear of a loving God. I know that sounds like a contradiction, but we've already seen how it makes perfect sense in the light of the law of Moses. Don't steal the future from your children. If you're not giving them the gospel, you're not bringing them to the altar of God, the family altar in your homes. Hopefully you're doing that every day, parents, aren't you? You're praying with them. You're making sure they hear the Word of God, that you study it with them, don't you? And you're bringing them here into the church to have the incredible experience of communal worship, where all of this is taking place in our Bible classes and in the experience of community worship in remembering the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. You're telling your children about the Christ and the cross of Christ and what he did and the meaning of the Lord's Supper. You see, if you're not doing this, you're stealing the future from your children. You know what future you're stealing if you're not giving them the Lord and teaching them the fear of the Lord? You're not giving them heaven. You're stealing that from them too. No, you're not doing that. Beloved, I'm not getting after anyone here because I think you are all. All of you parents are doing a fantastic job. Fantastic. Keep doing it. The book of Proverbs, I don't mean to leave it out. I'm just saying that Deuteronomy is really the primer on parenting. But the book of Proverbs is Life 101. Or you could call it Parenting 101. Because it's set within the context of what a parent, a son, even a mother and father should teach their children. And just one little glimpse. Look at this. In Proverbs 14, verses 26 and 27. It says, in the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence. Isn't that interesting? You fear the Lord, respecting, reverencing, loving Him, serving Him, worshiping Him, being faithful to Him, is strong confidence. In what? In everything. In the present, in the past, in the future, in your life. And His children will have a refuge. The children of God have a refuge in God because they fear Him. They have strong confidence. Verse 27 says, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. So, you remember one of the things in the Proverbs, when it states something positively, it's also stating it negatively. If the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to not fear the Lord is sure death. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life that one may turn away from the snares of death. Parents, you're instilling the fear of the Lord in your children, because if you're not, you're telling them how they might surely die and will surely die if they don't come to respect the Lord. And of course, if they don't see that respect in you. How do we do this? Well, may I indulge you one more time in this incredible little statement made in the 17th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. Let's read it in its entirety. Let's put it in its perspective. In verse 14, we saw this, now we're reading it more fully. When you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you, verse 14 of the 17th chapter of Deuteronomy says, and you possess it, you dwell in it, then say, I will set a king over me like all the nations that are around me. You may indeed set a king over you whom the Lord your God will choose. One from among your brothers you shall set as king over you. You may not put a foreigner over you who is not your brother. Only he must not acquire horses and wives and all kinds of other things. It goes on and implies many other things. Don't go back to Egypt. Verse 18. And when he sits on that throne of his kingdom, he shall write for himself. I want to suggest that I think I could prove from Scripture rather easily that if you are a husband and wife, you are, as it were, a king and a queen in that marriage over your own home. You do realize that in the marriage ceremonies and festivities in ancient Israel, even in the first century, during the wedding feast that took place, do you know what the bride and groom were considered to be in their marriage feast? A king and a queen. Parents, just extrapolate out of that and just think about what you really are in the little kingdom that God has given you and made of you in terms of your own family. Husband and wife, king and queen, and then you have children and you have a little kingdom, as it were. I'm just simply suggesting that. And it shall be with him, because he will write for himself a book of the copy of this law, approved by the Levitical priesthood. Verse 19, and it shall be with him that he shall read in it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God by keeping all the words of this law and these statutes and doing them, that his heart may not be lifted up above his brothers, and that they may not turn aside from the commandment either to the right hand or to the left, so that he may continue long in the kingdom, he and his children in Israel. So what was the king in ancient times? Virtually the king was a father. to his children. What am I saying? Mom and Dad, have you allowed God to write in your heart the law of God, the Word of God, where it is buried deep within your soul? Are you reading the Word of God, studying the Word of God, fearing God in His Word, and teaching this diligently to your children as you exercise the right kind of leadership, servant leadership over your children, and sharing with them the gospel of Christ, the good news? See, there's so much bad news in the world. I can get hung up on that as much as anybody. Don't just talk about all the bad stuff going on. Parents, you have an obligation to share with your children the good news of God and His righteousness. Because if you don't, you're stealing the future from your children. Oh, I leave you with one last verse really quickly. Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. If you don't do all this, parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles, with regard to all the children around us, look at Deuteronomy 28. Read it when you have the time and you have a strong stomach and you are prepared for what you will read in this chapter. If you are not careful, we drop all the way down into verse 58 and 59 only. If you're not careful to do all of this, the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear the glorious and awesome name of the Lord your God. If you're not careful to do that, may I add, parents, grandparents, with your children and grandchildren, if you're not careful to do this, verse 59, then the Lord will bring on you and your offspring extraordinary afflictions severe and lasting, and sicknesses grievous and lasting, and He will bring all of the diseases of Egypt upon you. You see, you don't want to steal the future from your kids. These beautiful children all around us. You want to, above all, teach them the fear of the Lord and give them a future. Give them hope. I'm so thankful that though, maybe I shouldn't tell you this. It won't matter if I do. And by the way, my mom gave me full permission to always use her life for any illustration. She did. My mom believed in all kinds of conspiracy theories. Back then in the 50s, 60s, it was all about communism. Now everybody laughs at the Communist Manifesto. Oh, they shouldn't laugh. But she didn't darken my days with her conspiracies. She didn't distort reality with her conspiracies. She had an indomitable, unconquerable faith in the Lord God, in His glorious kingdom above all. And that's what she sought to instill in me. Any failings there are mine if it's not instilled in me as it should be. Not her failings. She believed in all kinds of conspiracies. She talked and talked to us diligently about all the things that were wrong in the world. But she showed us what was right. And that was all about God and His glory. And she taught, and my dad taught, myself and my sisters, how to fear the Lord and not really worry about anything else. That's what I want for all of us. That's what God has given us in His Word. If you're subject to the gospel call, if you're filled with doom and gloom and fear and you're worried all the time, oh, you need to look up. Quit looking at all this stuff going on in the world around us here. Look up to heaven and see God on His throne and Jesus as Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and give your life to Him. Seek His grace, His forgiveness, and His love. And if you're ready to do that, will you come as together we stand and sing this song?
We are bound.